This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to Terry's 2017 interview with Jordan Peele, the former comic whose frightening films include Get Out, Us, and Nope.
You've said that you knew by the time you were 13 that you wanted to make a horror film. How did you know that?
I was a very scared child. Not so much of life, but of the demons that lurked in the dark, and horror movies terrified me. You know, I'd love watching them, but then at night I would just be up in sweats all night. At some point, I swear, Terry, it was like my mind just shifted in order to cope with these fears. And, you know, I sort of became obsessed with this idea of mastering my own fear, that if I could do what these, you know, great horror people did, that I would be wielding this power as opposed to being a victim to it. That's what happened. I fell in love with horror films.
What's one of the films that really scared you when you were young?
You know, one of them that really got me was Nightmare on Elm Street. There was and something about the way that, you know, Freddy operated with so much malice, and also the way that those movies, you know, the sequels especially, begins almost being told with Freddy as the main character. It was almost as if we were meant to identify with this monster more than the teens he was killing, and he had this weird dark sense of humor. Something about that really disturbed me to my core.
Were you afraid of his hands that have these, like, you know, knife like fingers that you can slash people with?
Terry, you are so cute. Yes,
I
was scared of the knife glove. Yes.
All right.
I was terrified of the knife glove. I was terrified of the idea that you can't escape him by going to sleep. But, you know, there was really what got me was this sort of urge that, you know, the movie was trying to make you relate. You know, people would cheer, you know, Freddy's little, you know, he'd kill somebody brutally and then say, like, you know, some stupid pun, you know, like, game over, chump, you know, he's like kills a guy with a video game or something. And then, like, the audience, like, laughs and is on, and I was not, you know, on Freddy's side. I was, like, terrified of Freddy. So that sort of, that was this interesting period in horror where the audience was sort of invited to relate to the monster. Kind of started with this stalker vision idea from the 70s where, you know, the camera would be lurking behind the trees watching, you know, some sorority girl taking a shower. And, you know, that whole world of things is terrifying to me because they're asking you to identify with your internal predator or something. It's very, very disturbing.
You told, I think it was Jason Zinnemann in the New York Times, that you'd made a list of your favorite types of scares in movies. Mm-hmm. What are some of those scares that made it to your list?
Well, there is, you know, the scare from, you know, The Shining, where we are turning a corner or entering an area and these two little girls are waiting for us at the end of the hallway. And there's, you know, there's also the, in Silence of the Lambs, when we meet Hannibal Lecter, this, you know, arriving to this person who's been waiting for us. There's something about that is just scary.
Mm-hmm.
The notion of depth of, you know, there's a scene where Walter is running through the field at the night straight at Chris. And that is
this
very...
This is in your film.
This was in my film, and this was inspired by, you know, the plane sequence in North by Northwest. There's this visceral reaction that happens when you're watching a film and something is barreling towards the camera. It's almost like a natural instinct, you know, like back in the days when there's a lion coming at us. It's like, you know, your DNA is telling you just squat and run. Follow the floor, play dead, or run, or do something. Then there is, you know, of course, the, you know, one of the big techniques that I use in this film is, you know, inspired by you know, things like the Blair Witch Project, which is that terror works almost better than horror. And when I make the distinction, it's actually Stephen King's distinction that he noted. I don't know if it's his per se, but he noted it in one of his books, I think Dance Macabre, where he's talking about terror is the fear of what's to come. And I think that that is the most important type of fear to use in a horror movie, is if the audience knows it's heading somewhere dark, then you don't have to overload us with these horrible moments. The audience is doing the work the entire time. The audience's imagination will do a better, more personalized version of the horror than you can actually paint. So that just show, you know, with something like the Blair Witch Project, which is, you know, whatever, it's 89 minutes of people running through the woods and 1 minute of, you know, a guy standing in a corner. it's you know, on paper, it shouldn't work, but it was so effective.
So one of the things that you draw on this is this fear of somebody kind of like invading your brain, like not only getting under your skin, but like invading your mind. Mm-hmm. And that's been a theme of a lot of horror films, like Invaders from Mars. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, it's a great one. I think it's from like the 1950s. Like aliens land and transplant these things into people's heads, and they mm-hmm. look like the same person, except they look hypnotized and they're not behaving the same because they're under the control of these invaders from Mars. Mm-hmm. But the main character in your movie, the guy, mm-hmm. he's a smoker, and his girlfriend's mother offers to hypnotize him and help him mm-hmm. stop smoking, because that's one of the things she does in her therapy practice. And his friend urges him, don't, she might get into your mind. This figures into the story in a larger way that I won't describe. But I really, watching the film, I was really wondering, like, are you a smoker? Did you try hypnosis?
I used to smoke. I have not tried hypnosis, but it is something that, you know, I think is kind of universally scary to people, right? This idea that, oh my God, what, if somebody can probe into my psyche, there's no telling how vulnerable I'll be and what kind of influence they could have. Mm. You know, albeit this is a stereotype, but it's grounded in reality. Black people have not had the experience with therapy as a whole that white people have, or at least there is a heightened fear in the black community of this idea of going to a psychiatrist. It's like, no, I'm good. I'm going to go to church, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that was another reason why I thought this sort of mental probing, this whole thing, you know, Chris would sit down in this chair with Missy, played by Catherine Keener, you know, I could just hear the black people in the audience going, no, 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 don't do it. Come on, get out of that room right now. Get out, get out, get out. You can sort of hear and sort of feel that. And, you know, Chris himself is appropriately skeptical of the process as well.
So Roger Ebert had a phrase called the idiot plot, which he described that any plot that could be solved instantly if all the characters weren't idiots. And so in horror films, the idiot plot is when the monster is kind of coming after them and they very, very slowly like back away instead of just like running, or like they run mm-hmm. right into a corner where they're definitely going to be like locked in, as opposed to, you know, like getting mm-hmm. into a car and driving away. And if they just behaved rationally, the story would end and they'd be alive at the end of the movie. Did you try to avoid, like, all the idiot plot kind of things when you were writing the film? Like, even if you don't know that expression, did you sense that there's a lot of, like, stupid ways of reacting in some not very good horror films that you wanted to avoid?
I did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of the things, and especially something that I feel like every horror movie fan is sort of underserved with: smart protagonists. Certainly black horror movie fans have been particularly vocal. I mean, there's the whole Eddie Murphy routine about, you know, black people in a horror movie wouldn't last very long, right? They just walk in, you hear, get out, too bad we can't stay, baby. You know, that was that, you know, one of the great routines.
Yeah.
And yes, so this movie, and one of the reasons the Ira Levin school of writing.
He wrote Rosemary's Baby, yeah.
He wrote Rosemary's Baby, and he also wrote The Stepford Wives. And,
okay.
Boys from Brazil, but he has this great... He saves the big events till the end. So he just, you know, he does this great thing where he takes one little step into Weird Town, and then he does the work to justify why the character would, how the character is justifying staying. It goes to what we were talking about earlier about the protagonist questioning their own paranoia versus the reality of what they're perceiving. So that was one of the reasons I went with a movie of this pace, because if, you know, if Chris got to the Armitage home in this movie and some huge crazy thing happened, then the movie would have to be over.
Jordan Peele speaking to Terry Gross in 2017. The writer and director of Get Out has since directed other well-received films in the horror genre, including Us and Nope. This is Fresh Air.